While the world continues to condemn Russia's special military operation against Ukraine, Russia provides its reasons for continuing that operation. In the latest, Russia has said that it had hit a Ukrainian warship and a weapons store in Odessa with its high-precision missiles. Two attacks have taken place in Odessa by Russia. In this edition of the Spotlight, we will look at the developments coming out of this conflict, which consists of continuing energy shortages for EU countries, and whether the U.S. provocative moves can prove to be one too many for Russia to counter-react with what the former Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev once said the U.S. may receive a Judgment Day response. Our guests for this edition of the Spotlight are Ray McGovern joins us. He's a former CIA analyst who joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Also joining us is Jeff Brown, radio host and journalist who joins us from Normandy. Welcome to you both. Let me first start with you, Ray McGovern, if I may. We're looking first at this incident that has happened twice in the port city of Odessa, where you have Russian, after signing that grain deal for wheat, et cetera, to target it, but it has said that the missiles did not hit the port's grain storage in the first incident and did not cause significant damage, and the other to actually have targeted what Russia has said is an area that held some U.S. weapons. Russia has its reasons. How do you see this strike by Russia, of which it's being blamed for now by the entire world practically?
Well, it's very hard to know. Russia does have its reasons. The question is whether those were ammo dumps and supplies and so forth. And we will not know that because we have no journalists worth the name in that part of Ukraine. There's a backstory to this grain deal, and that is that even though Russia has been blamed for preventing the export of grain, it was the mines that Ukraine laid in the access to Odessa that really made it impossible for the grain ships to be insured on the one hand, and then to go get the grain and bring it out. That has been resolved now. There's a channel that has been cleared of mines, and this should be no, but it is a Russian foreign minister worked this out with the UN Secretary General 2 weeks ago, okay? Why doesn't the UN Secretary General acknowledge that? Well, We all know why. So the deal is good, but it could have been done weeks ago if there was an agreement by the Ukrainians to clear the mines that they had laid in the approaches to Odessa.
Okay, let's take a look at the military aspect of this war, Jeff Brown, if we may, in terms of how things stand when you compare the Russian army versus the Ukrainian army, based on just the latest, just a few aspects of the numbers. The Russian military, 771,000 active military personnel versus Ukraine's roughly 200,000. These are rough numbers. Russia's total tanks, 20,000, a little bit more than that, 20,050 versus 2,045 for the Ukrainian side. This is skewed heavily in favor of Russia to the point where it's kind of hard to really imagine Ukraine catching up when you have these kinds of numbers in favor of Russia. What kind of strategy could there then be in the Ukrainian officials' minds to continue this war?
The president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, recently said in a groundbreaking speech, and I wish we could talk about it, but we don't. This is not the time to do it. But he said that that NATO wants to defeat Russia, and he said, "Okay, go ahead and try. We haven't even really started." So all of this propaganda from the West about the Russians, they can't move and they can't advance and they, et cetera, they are using a little finger's worth of their military might. The U.S. and NATO thought that Russia was going to run out of high-precision missiles in 2 weeks. The Russians learned in World War II that you never run out of ammunition, and they never did, and they're not going to run out of ammunition now. This is not about Ukraine. This is about the West trying to save Western imperialism, global capitalism. This is way, way beyond Ukraine now, and it's pretty clear to me that Russia, they're taking their sweet time. The West thought that it was going to deplete Russian resources. Russia is basically toying with the West like a cat and a mouse, and they are the Russians are now depleting Western resources. And Shoigu, the Minister of Defense, was just in Donbass last week and said, time to move further west and beyond Donbass to get the Ukrainians away from the Donbass so that their missiles can quit slaughtering innocent victims. Russia has already won. NATO has already lost. And Russia is going to bleed NATO dry until it has no more ammunition left.
Okay, well, that puts another aspect to this, Ray McGovern, if you agree. Because I was going to ask you about the fact that, what kind of goals would Russia have? They set out wanting that eastern part, but as our guests there indicated, their aspirations are not beyond that. But he put a twist in there, if I may call it that, that it wants to deplete the West, in particular the U.S., and then in turn, by default almost, EU countries' resources. Is that what Russia now intends to do, or maybe it has had that plan way before?
Well, there are three very important things that happened this past week, and I want to name them before we run out of time. One was the Iranian statement that they fully support Russia and its aims in Ukraine. Two was the Chinese foreign ministry statement saying the same thing. Real big events. The third one plays into what's going on the ground. Now, on the same day, oddly enough, Foreign Secretary Sergei Lavrov from Russia said, we're going to expand our aims. We said we'd settle for Donetsk and Lugansk. No. We've got Zaporozhye. We've got other places farther to the west. And we're going to move ahead. And the reason we're going to move ahead and change our original designs or aims is because of the presence of HIMARS. Now, he singled out this rocket system by mentioning HIMARS. Now, here's the crux here. What's HIMARS? Well, that's a rocket system that has a range of about 50 miles. That's dangerous. Now, why did he mention that? Because the U.S. is giving HIMARS to the Ukrainians, and at the same time, on the same day, the Defense Secretary of the United States said, and I quote, "When I heard the news that Russia was expanding its aims in Ukraine, I thought, I'll bet the Ukrainian leadership is really happy about how effective our HIMARS are and that they know how to use them." Now, nobody has put two and two together. In other words,
you can do it HIMARS, for us.
Lavrov was saying, is occasioning an expansion of Russian aims, and the Defense Secretary of the United States doesn't seem to realize the implications of this. He's more engaged in a rhetorical system as how good the Ukrainian leadership might feel. My friends who know a lot about military affairs say that HIMARS is no magic bullet. It's not going to change much, and it will encourage the Russians to go farther than I believe they intended to.
Well, HIMARS, I'm glad you explained that, Ray McGovern. Another thing that it does have, from what we understand here, is that it is, I think each has six GPS radars. It's very precision guided in that respect. So Russia, in part, did have a reaction in terms of what you mentioned about Lavrov. Now, one of the things that maybe, Jeff Brown, maybe points to the fact that the U.S. and NATO together want this war to continue is perhaps the piece of news that came out. This was, at this point, a couple weeks old, how British forces have begun training Ukrainian soldiers to the tune of 10,000 of them in order to make sure that they will get the special military training, which obviously involves using the equipment that they have no idea how to use. Do you think, and that's going to take time, I'm guessing, when you train that many. Is that one of the reasons, perhaps, why the U.S. and NATO member countries want this war to continue at this point, to give them the a chance of trying to defeat Russia?
You're asking me?
Yes, yes. Jeff Brown, go ahead.
Well, you know, NATO must be absolutely delusional to think that they're going to win this war. And it's, they think they're buying time. I think it's the Russians that are buying time, and they can train 100,000 people in London, and it's not going to change the outcome of what's going to happen in Ukraine. The Russians have applied a tiny percentage of their capability. They could bomb the Ministry of Defense and the nerve center of the Ukrainian army in Kiev with their precision missiles and hurt almost no one. They haven't even begun to really stretch things out here. And with Shoigu, and as Ray mentioned, Lavrov, you know, talking about moving further west. I mean, between all of us, I think in 5 years, Russia's going to have elite tank divisions on the borders with Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, and Poland. They're going to end up with the entire Ukrainian landmass, because the West is simply not going to stop trying to destroy Russia, failing the entire way. And the only way to stop it is to get to the EU border. And I think that's what will happen in the next 5 years. I think it's just a matter, it's just an eventuality, because the West will not stop.
Well, Ray McGovern, let me see what you think about what the former Medvedev has said in terms of the possibility of Crimea being attacked with these HIMARS weapons, because that's one of the things that was mentioned by Zelensky, of which he said that will ignite Judgment Day response. Judgment Day will come very fast and hard. It will be very difficult to hide. Can you please tell us what he means by Judgment Day?
Well, Medvedev has been the bad cop over the last several months. In other words, he's been given the task to issue pointed warnings. Now, as I mentioned, the HIMARS, for example, have a range of 50 miles. Now, you put them somewhere near Crimea, and they can do a lot of damage. They can't reach that bridge just yet unless they, well, no, I don't think they can have the range for that. But there are other rocket systems that the U.S. could provide. I'm not looking at a horizon of 5 years. I can't think in those terms. I'm thinking of a horizon of several months, and the key juncture is the U.S. midterm elections. By November, when the elections take place, the West is going to be losing profoundly. And there will be great pressure on Biden and his military to do something even worse than HIMARS. And that concerns me greatly, because if they escalate all the way to more advanced systems, which can go 200 miles, then Russia itself and that bridge that connects Russia with Crimea are in jeopardy. So this escalation, which I believe really started just this week on the 20th, when Lavrov said, "We're going farther," and the Defense Secretary of the United States said, "Well, you know, well, see, the Ukrainians will be very happy to hear that, because our weapons are working, and that's why they're going farther." Well, doesn't he? How is he advising the American president? Is he telling Mr. Biden, "Hey, we got to be prepared for some really bad results here when they go farther west? They're going to take Odessa. They may go as far as Moldova." And, you know, this is a real problem. It's not a rhetorical exercise. Does he tell Biden that? I'm not sure he has the brains to do that. He's no smarter than Blinken, the foreign, Secretary of State, and that's an invidious comparison.
Well, you have other statements made. For example, Jeff Brown, this question for you, where Zelensky has promised Ukraine will not give up as the Russian invasion at this point is entering the 6 months. On the same day, which is today, you had the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine say, Washington will support Kiev for as long as it takes. So we're trying to figure out a timeline. Ray McGovern says a couple of months. I think you made a reference, Jeff Brown, to years. Do you really think it will take years?
Well, I said 5 years that the map will be changed in 5 years, and Ukraine will be reintegrated into the Russian Federation, where into the motherland where Ukraine was for centuries. And in fact, Russian Orthodox Christianity began in Crimea. So there's a lot of history with Russia there. I just don't see any other choice for Russia than to just keep pushing. I mean, they could do what the United States does, and flatten everybody and kill hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people, like they did in Iraq and Libya and what they're doing in Syria, et cetera. But they're trying to save civilian lives. They're trying to save civilian infrastructure. And since the Ukrainian Nazis put all of their personnel and equipment in churches and hospitals and apartment blocks and other sensitive sites, it really frustrates the Russians. They could roll to Lviv in a month or two if they wanted to wage war like the United States typically does, which is no regard for civilian life and no regard for for infrastructure. So I think Russia is thinking in years. I think they think that they know they are going to deplete NATO's weaponry. There's even Raytheon and the other manufacturers are saying it's going to take them 3, 4, 5 years to replace what's already been sent to Ukraine. How are they going to get all that back? And as far as Zelensky is concerned, he and his mafia crony that manipulates him like a puppet, they're making billions off of this thing. They are making billions, raking money off of all of these arms and stuff coming into the country. So he loves what's going on because he's becoming even a bigger billionaire than he already is, and his mafia boss, who works with him. So that's my assessment. I really hope Russia does roll all the way to the border of Poland, and because that's what it's going to take to bring Western Empire to its knees.
Mm-hmm. Ray McGovern, you have something to say, it seems like. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment on that and to warn that there could be what Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, warned just this week, a false flag, an unanticipated event, the kind of thing that changed things dramatically. I have in mind Zaporozhye, where there are many nuclear structures there. The Ukrainian Nazis are crazy. It is not beyond their capability or their intention, in my view, to strike one of those nuclear sites, to blame it on the Russians, and everything changes because now the Russians have attacked the nuclear facilities in Ukraine, and there are many of them. So I just warn that things could change rapidly, and Lavrov himself is warning in a very pointed way about these staged, he calls them, staged events to prevent the inexorable advance of the Russian army.
So what kind of response will we get, supposedly, if what you're speculating happens?
Well, that's just it. I have no confidence that Biden is up to responding to this. As a matter of fact, Lavrov himself has said in a recent interview, Biden is not in charge. Who's doing this are the top of the State Department and one or two people in the White House. They have ample proof of that because Biden has gone back on some of his promises, almost certainly due to pressure from the military-industrial complex, as well as State Department and one or two in the White House. So they have no confidence in Biden, neither do I. And this raises a really explosive situation if a unplanned or a false flag attack happens. And as I say, it doesn't have to be a nuclear thing. It could be all kinds of other things like chemical attacks, such as the ones that were staged in Syria.
Indeed. Well, there was another explosion that it kind of has been swept under the rug, but it is pretty noteworthy, and that is the treason that was noted inside the Ukrainian government, where President Volodymyr Zelensky dismissed the security chief and also the prosecutor general, and he said that there are roughly around 650 cases involving officials that are suspected of treason, aiding Russia. Now, how big a deal is that, Jeff Brown?
You know, Zelensky, it's a sad commentary that this Nazi sympathizer is the most powerful leader in the Western world right now. It's tragic. And who knows? You know, there's so much corruption. There is so much money, you know, money laundering going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is the biggest washing machine for the West for money laundering. It could be he just needs to, you know, get some guys out who are not, you know, cooperating with him and putting in some of his cronies. I have no idea. And it's also, you know, optics to look good, like he's trying to save Ukraine. So I really can't say, and who knows. And whether they even left or not, it may have just been a psychological operation that he asked these
okay.
guys to leave.
Let me cut you and give Ray McGovern a chance, and you could respond. And with that, that'll be the last question. Ray McGovern, go ahead.
I could easily catch this in terms of a staged event. Now, what happened was real. Okay, Lavrov himself, in his major statement this week, talked about Zelensky or whoever comes in to replace him, okay? Gratuitous remark. There's going to be someone coming in to replace him. And you know, the Russians are afraid of being blamed for that. They've avoided that so far. And Zelensky, please remember, is not his own man. He's pulled by strings in Washington and in Brussels, and also by the Azov people, the Nazis, against whom he has to be very, very afraid, because he's vulnerable from both sides, the right and the left.
Thank you. We're going to end it there. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. Jeff Brown, thank you so much, radio host and journalist. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight. From Mikhail Tapway and the team, it's goodbye until next time.